Ladies and men of the gentle disposition, welcome back, and thank you for joining us. To Doom Radio, also known as Tango TV, where today we ask, where's all the data? A review program that uses musical chords instead of numbers because objectively superior. And with me here to discuss Epic 2 is host Regular Tonsman. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful. How about yourself today, Alfonso?
Just broad-eyed and bushy-tailed, Tonsman. Thank you for all.
Excellent.
Epic 2 is is a partial conversion, I guess you could call it, by Eternal, a.k.a. Dedal, in the Egyptian-slash-alien style. Not together, necessarily, but those are the two primary themes. Where to begin? I mean, when you want to sit down and review something, or when you want to play the project that you're ultimately going to review, I mean, it helps to go in with an open mind. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer, but sometimes I feel it's a little hard to do that because you have hang-ups with the author, or you've played many of his works before, or you've heard by word of mouth that it's, you know, such and such, it's good or it's bad or what have you. And in the case of Epic 2, the author being Eternal, I'm familiar with Eternal's works, or many of his works, and so I can't go in and review it without expecting certain things. This is the case also with authors like Peacock, albeit for different reasons. Dutch Devil, Jimmy, for example. I mean, they're all consistent in some way. They might not necessarily create the same map all the time, but they do have a very similar process. In the case of Eternal, I actually just change the way that I'm going to play the game, because he has a very specific way in which he molds the player's pace in the game. And so when I load up Epic 2, it doesn't take me very long to slow myself down, to get used to that switch hunty exercise, to get used to the corridor crawling. And this makes me look at some of the positives, some of the negatives, rather, in... I guess I don't mind them as much. So that's just one thing I wanted to say quickly before we start a proper review, analyzing the actual gameplay and stuff like that, is that ultimately, when I sit down to play it, the negative aspects of it, they're not actually so bad to me, when they otherwise would be if I hadn't played a map set by Eternal before. I'm just wondering if that's kind of similar with you.
One, I'd never played anything by Eternal, really, that. But no, it harkens back to what we discussed in Program B about objectively wrong decisions in gaming.
Yeah.
Like, Eternal does it right. I mean, I could still, like, consider those negatives, but I feel they work more in the overall tone of the map set.
Right. Okay, I understand that. Yeah, I mean, one thing Eternal's very good at, and it's on display here again in Epic 2, is he's very good at taking different qualities of the map set, like the music, the texturing, all the different flavors that make up the whole, and he does a very good job of creating for a cohesive whole. And I mean, either might be filler maps in the set, for example, but they might play like filler maps, and you might independently look at that map and say, I don't really like it so much. But when you package it into the whole, it fits in. I mean, it might still be filler, but I mean, the whole of the map set, in the case of Epic 2, it's very easy for me to look at it from the top down and think, oh, okay, I know exactly what this map set is about. It's not confused as to what it wants to be, you know? It's very good at creating a whole in that way. So,
in
the gameplay, it all comes together very nicely, I think.
I think that with Epic 2, and it's really this whole style of Doom mapping, is that there's a lot of focus on a cohesive journey. Like, you actually feel like you're going from place to place.
Right.
And there's pretty tight, consistent themes. It's not like most Doom maps where, like, if there was a bad filler map, you could, like, just replace it. Like, and nothing of value, like, you wouldn't notice it at all if you're playing, I don't know, anything else. Doom 2, Back to Saturn X, Plutonia 2, right. Kama Sutra, whatever. It doesn't matter. Any of those other projects, if you were playing those projects and just, like, you replaced a map that was pretty meh and then gave it to, like, somebody new who had never played it and asked them to notice if there was a map replaced, they wouldn't be able to be like, yeah, no. Whereas with Epic 2, like, each map feels like it's, like, part of the journey.
Right.
It's kind of, you know, and it does so not in, like, a lot of map sets will do that in a way where they just, instead of making it so, like, all the maps feel like you're moving the story forward, it'll just be like the map ends at the beginning of the next map, but it doesn't feel independent of anything.
Right.
Like, you could cut out those start and exit points and just have them, you know, start the map without that connection point, and the map would basically be the same thing. It wouldn't feel like you went from one location to another location that's actually right next to it. And Epic 2 is really good at doing that in kind of a Duke 3D build engine game sort of way, where like it feels like everything you're doing in the episode.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely more than one way to sort of connect maps in that way, yeah, and make it feel like a story and progressing through.
And I don't believe any of the Epic 2 maps actually do go into each other like that with connections, but they all feel like they do.
I don't think so. I think maybe a map 13 to 14 when you come out of the alien ship with the archfiles on it. But I mean, it's not, you know, you don't end in the start in the same room you ended in with the previous one. But
yeah,
but cohesion is definitely there. Of course, a pro tip with narrative is to only make the other story, pro tip with your story is to only make it as long as it needs to be. And I was just thinking, maybe if you thought that Epic 2 was actually a little bit longer than it needed to be, sitting at 32 maps, because a common complaint with it is that, you know, Dan, we're still in Egypt, or we've come back from the alien land, and now we're back at episode 3, and it's more of the same. Like, did you grow a little bit tired of the theme at some point?
No, I honestly didn't, because the maps themselves are diversified enough. Like, the beginning Egypt stuff feels more like traditional Egypt, whereas the later stuff feels more like the nighttime, darker Egypt. There's more underground, like, vast expanses. The hallways open up. It feels like there's a different ideology put into the level design, honestly. I mean, I hate to rag on the Doom community about this, but there are a lot of people who, to them, a map being different has nothing to do whether or not it's a different map. It has to do everything with the textures used and the sky. And that's about it. Like, for example, and I do generally like a lot of what Cannonball does, but his map set that I can't even remember the name of now, he made it for Doom 1. It was pretty okay.
Concerned,
thank you.
I'm concerned with your lack of knowledge in this respect.
Yeah. I knew it was something with a C, but I couldn't remember it. Concerned.
In the name.
Yeah, for example, Concerned, an episode 3 map, you could retexture it and make it an episode 1 map, basically. I mean, you'd have to change the monsters around a little bit, but architecturally, layout-wise, structurally, basically nothing changes apart from the textures. And to me, that's not a map set changing. Okay, a map set has to change something pretty, you know, different between each cluster of maps. Like, the first cluster of maps is always the easiest because, you know, they're generally the easy maps, and so at least they're going to feel different than the later maps because, you know, the gameplay is generally not going to be as tough. Then most map sets kind of have that middling second episode they don't know what to do with because they have no real, like, change-up for it. And then you get to the third episode, and third episode's where, you know, it at least feels different because now suddenly it's harder, there's generally more gimmicks or whatever. And that's generally the normal progression most Doom map sets follow that basically allows them to stay fresh while continuing to basically be their own thing instead of, you know, just being the same map over and over and over again. And Epic 2, it goes beyond that. There definitely is a variety to how the map set plays between E1, E2, and E3. So I would not call Epic 2 samey at all. It definitely has a cohesive theme that remains constant throughout. But you know what else does? Plutonia, and that's one of the greatest things ever made. And that is another prime example of you can have the same exact theme the whole way through, but as long as you have diverse gameplay and enough stuff changes, which even in a map set as firmly ingrained in itself as Plutonia is, does happen, that it can, you know, allow the gameplay to feel unique and diverse. And that's where I feel Epic 2 succeeds.
Right. I'm actually kind of surprised you didn't mention Whispers of Satan before you mentioned Concern there, because we've harped on quite a lot about how that changes the theme, but the gameplay and sort of layouts from any exactly the same.
Not to the same extent. I disagree about Whispers of Satan. For a large chunk of it, it does, but I feel P-Corf and Christian Aro do change it up enough a couple of times later on that it's not wholly the same in the entire way through, but there definitely is a symptom of that in the same way that it's there in 2002 Doom Odyssey.
Oh, very good. I mean, I certainly agree with you with respect to Epic 2. You're talking about how it changes aside from just the theme, and it keeps diversifying itself. I mean, for me, although the themes of episode 1 and 3 were more or less the same, I mean, episode 3 had lots more lava, I guess, and gold in it. The first episode was more balanced around us hopping between very slow, trying to slow the player down a lot to really build atmosphere, and very actually kind of creepy and spooky in places, and then jumping between that and then bright outdoor frenetic combat and then back. And so it was a delicate balance there. Then when the third episode came along, it went more or less full on slaughter, which is frenetic more or less 100% of the time. Well, the difficulty sort of removed that element of it, and it felt like it stayed fresh that way for me, I think. And another example of just how it all comes together as a whole is that even though with these two separate episodes, they had two separate sort of music selections that helped build this the sort of way you play the game, where there's a lot of Daggerfall music, for example, in episode 1 and episode 3. I can't remember the sources, but it was always more frenetic and greatly diversifying. Episode 2 was actually probably my favorite all in all, because at that point, I mean, we talk about how episodes 1 and 3 stay fresh, but they're not placed alongside each other, because episode 2 is slot there in the middle and it is Alien.
Episode 2 feels more like if episode 1 is more like the creepy crawl through the dungeon,
yep,
and the Daggerfall music and stuff. Episode 3 is more like the straight-on action flick. Episode 2 is just basically Indiana Jones.
I knew you were going to make a movie comparison. Good. Which one?
Just the entire concept of Indiana Jones, no specific movie. Oh. I pick Raiders of the Lost Ark because it's the best one, but...
Okay, no, very good. Despite the cohesion, actually, though, there are a couple of quibbles I have where, particularly the second episode, I think some of the texture selection was a bit sloppy. It got a bit schizophrenic at times. It was very cohesive in the first and third episodes, but the second one is like, I can't quite find the right alien texture set, so I'll just bundle some of the other ones I've used near. It sort of looked a little bit off. So, I mean, it was like, as you say, with many projects, the second episode sort of falls by the wayside. This one didn't. There's just a sort of that slip-up in the department that kind of prevented it from being the perfect mix, I feel, thematically.
I didn't really have that problem, mainly because I'm just so used to Doom's just vast collection of just resources. Yeah, like, the stock resource itself has textures with drastically different shading styles and detail levels, to where it's not something that I can, it really ever bothers me in Doom. I mean, I'll notice it when it's not there, when you have such, like, a really strong, cohesive visual theme, like in something like Back to Saturn X or The Darkening, where everything is definitely its own unique thing. But if it's just the standard Doom... whatever texture we felt like was the texture we wanted, and we don't care how well it looks next to this texture, that doesn't bother me, because it all still feels like it's all part of the same idea.
Right. Okay. Well, we talked about Eternal's ability to create unite different design elements to create a whole, and theme and cohesion in that respect. Let's talk a little bit about the actual gameplay itself, because I know I don't have as big a problem as some other people might, because I'm quite happy to change the way I play the game in anticipation of playing an Eternal map set, and I can enjoy myself more. But maybe that wasn't the case for you. Maybe there were some aspects of gameplay that sort of rubbed you the wrong way.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
I definitely was not a fan of a lot of the gameplay, and, in Eternal Doom, or not Eternal Doom,
well, that too.
That too, well, yeah, it's nowhere near as bad as Eternal Doom, but, I was definitely not a big fan of the gameplay in, Epic 2, mostly because I felt it was, like, I didn't mind it when it was the hallway crawl stuff, that was fine and dandy and all, because that at least built into the atmosphere, but I feel there was a lot of just poor choices and monster usage when the gameplay was supposed to be based around tight combat. And I can't, like, go to, you know, atmosphere or storytelling or any of the other normal excuses where I can excuse gameplay that I don't find necessarily exciting or really amazing on its own. Like, you know, a lot of really good-looking map sets have pretty weak gameplay in terms of, like, challenging the player and, you know, just generally being on par with what I'd like to play in my gameplay, but I can look past it because the overall presentation
right.
is pretty good. That's one thing, but then there's, like, where the gameplay is actively, like, dragging down the experience, like being loaded up with 20 barons in a hallway or... Picking up a key and suddenly being absolutely surrounded by revenants and just having to fucking spam the BFG for 3 minutes. Stuff like that, I can complain about that separate of the experience because that's disconnected to the experience for me.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel the problem sort of when more bundled into the third episode where it went full on monster mosh pit?
No, because there definitely was still, like, the problems with Baron usage and whatnot in the first episode. They weren't as egregious because there was less overall monsters, and it wasn't as annoying because the whole concept of being in a small hallway stuck fighting an enemy was kind of enforced by the adventurous aspect of those first couple of maps. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the gameplay didn't evolve across the maps mid-episode. Like, it evolved across the map set,
right.
But it wouldn't be like, okay, I'm playing this map, and this map has a gameplay gimmick, and I'm doing this for this map, and then I go to this map, and, you know, like, okay, it's the first map, so it's just kind of an introductory map, and the next map, it's a rocket map, and the next map, it's a barrel map, and the next, you know, there wasn't that semblance of diversity that I feel could have really helped it out,
right.
To keep the episodes fresh, even though the entire map set's overall cohesive theme still remained fresh throughout it.
Yeah, that's very similar for me, because when I got to the third episode, I mean, I say I'm slightly more forgiving of it, but I was really drawn into the atmosphere for the first two episodes in particular, and, you know, to an extent the third one, but by the time this sort of got through the mid sort of 20 range, map 25, that sort of thing, it had worn off that novelty to the point where I was really looking to other aspects of the level design to hoist it up, and so I began to notice more the sort of pitfalls in gameplay. And so by the time I got to the end of map 30 and finished the game, which incidentally wasn't a very good map, it sort of left it feeling a little bit sour for me, and I looked back on it in a more bit of a negative light. So my remembering self sort of remembered it worse than probably it was when I was playing it. I enjoyed it a little bit more. It was like that. Again, I talk about bringing things together as a whole again. One thing that did impress me, though, with respect to uniting gameplay in that respect was the actual ammo conservation part of it, because that really forced me to slow down and sort of soak up the atmosphere a lot more. Again, that was something that was unique to the episode 1, I think. Maybe parts of episode 3? I can't quite recall.
Episode 3 was pretty forgiving with its ammo. Yeah. The only thing in episode 3 that it did that was pretty unique to it is it kind of harkened back to episode 1 at one point and slowed the gameplay down for an Eternal Doom map.
Right, yeah. Visuals. In the interest of keeping time here, I mean, we said it looks okay, I think, but not directly.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't say it looks amazing. There's definitely a lot of visual problems I have with it. Some really ugly texture selection, not like in terms of matching the other textures around it,
okay,
but just in terms of the texture itself looks terrible. Why did you pick that?
Could you remind me as to which one looks absolutely shocking?
The fucking lava fall texture.
Oh, yeah, the love of, you know, that's right. You know, that's a common Eternal thing I've noticed, sort of trait of his, just like, you know, everything's coming together quite nicely, and then, I'll just fart out this particular texture, and we'll throw some folks off, whatever. Yeah, I had no problem with the visuals, honestly, aside from that textual quibble that I had, which is the texture mixing, but I know you didn't hold that opinion. And it was pretty consistent all the way through. There was some interesting... we talk about how there's basically only two primary themes, but there were maps like map 29 and map, I think it was 19, the latter of which was a city and the former of which was a castle map, of all things. You start off in a sort of hedgerow graveyard, which is very interesting and sort of felt out of the blue and not at all explained as to why that happened, but I was quite happy with it, you know? Sort of keep me on my toes. I was surprised.
Right. In terms of, I guess, I don't know if this would apply to visuals, but there was also some enemy replacements I was not a fan of.
Such as? I don't know, I kind of like the sunglasses on the chain gunner dude.
No, the chain gunner guy was fine, it was mainly the, well, I guess it's more of a sound.
Was it a bandana? Issue. No, he's wearing the sunglasses
on
his head.
No, it's a bandana on the chain gunner. anyways, no, I'm mainly referring to, like, the sound design of the Lost Souls.
Oh, goodness, oh yeah. No, again, it's another example of everything's coming together quite nicely, and I'll throw in this one little resource that will put people off. It tends to be the little things that, that niggle folks. And with Eternal's map sets, I find it's his more than others, incidentally. I think this is pretty decisive. What about the music?
I actually like the music overall. It changed enough to, like, keep me interested in it.
Right.
Enough so that, like, okay, when you have one musician, well, obviously he didn't have one musician because he was taken from multiple sources, but in Doom mapping, there are a few musicians who can keep their tracks fresh throughout, like, 32 maps of them. Jimmy, Essel, if Zazer made that much music, he probably could. Mark Clem, David Shaw, you know, the classics. Bobby Prince, probably, but like P-Corf or just the standard like stock music replacements that get used a lot, they generally tend to like just feel like the same track over and over and over again, even though they're different tracks by the end of the map set, because, you know, you've heard them so many times. But Epic 2 changed it up enough to where it like went to different styles of music, it went to different formats of music at one point, mm-hmm. with MP3s.
I should say there's a skill to just picking out a great selection of music from multiple different sources and having it all come together cohesively, which is a word we've overused, I think, perhaps. But, you know, to good effect. So, yeah, positives all around, I guess. And I think that brings us to the end of our review. It was pretty decisive. We've covered all the bases. If you've listened to this review and you think we're all Nazis or wrong or something, that's what Nazi means on Tango TV, then you'll drop us a reply in the thread and let us know, won't you? So the chords today for Epic 2 is a D minor 7th with added E flat, a C minor 6th, a G major, and a C sharp major with an added E flat once again. Thanks very much for tuning in, and here's Jimmy with the summary of this review in composition form. Take it away, thanks.